From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. If this summer's temperatures have been any indication, it is that global warming is not just a theory. It is a fact. Communities around the US and world are endangered by terrible climate threats, and yet our politicians, especially at the federal level, are doing nothing about it. But a mass global set of actions to demand climate action and justice is gearing up in September. And joining me to discuss it is Penny Opal Plant. She is an Indigenous activist based in the Bay Area of California. She's co-founder of Idle No More SF Bay, co-founder of Movement Rights, and a signatory on the Indigenous Women of the Americas Defending Mother Earth Treaty. Welcome to the program, Penny.
Thank you, Sonali. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thanks so much for joining us. So I understand that the climate action, the rise for climate jobs and justice is this global gathering with a set of actions taking place around the world September 8th, 4 days before a global climate action summit takes place in the Bay Area, which you are going to be a part of. So a lot of things happening around the issue of climate and climate justice in just the next week or two. And to lay the framework for that, can you give us a sense of how critical the fight is? I remember when we were discussing about the Paris Accord being not good enough, and yet today the United States has withdrawn from that incredibly modest, and some would even say toothless, agreement. Are the stakes higher than ever?
Absolutely. You know, with California on fire, as well as other Western states, there are over 200 fires up in British Columbia. European countries are on fire all the way up to the Arctic Circle. You know, there's massive flooding in India, heat waves around the world, and there are already untold hundreds of thousands of climate refugees. And as we know, the UN has been working on this issue for 24 years. And obviously they have not done their job. And a lot of that is due to corporate interests like the fossil fuel industry, whose pockets are deep and who are concerned about losing their, you know, big profits as we transition off of fossil fuels. And so here in the United States, especially more than any other country that I know of around the world, policy has changed when the elected officials are dragging their feet by getting thousands upon thousands of people in the streets rising up together, our voices united, saying that we need a change and we need a shift in policy immediately. And so that's why we've all been working so hard on the Rise for Climate Jobs and Justice March on September 8th. And it's happening in San Francisco because Jerry Brown, at the bequest of the Christian Figueres from the UN, has organized the Global Climate Action Summit. And while there, of course, will be people there with our best interests at heart, there are always also false solutions that are being pushed by people like Governor Jerry Brown, such as cap and trade and the carbon tax, which those mechanisms simply allow the fossil fuel industry to continue to destroy what we need to simply exist. And as a grandmother myself, I am very concerned with all of the babies that are being born now and those to come, that we are definitely not leaving them with what we have been blessed with in our lives, and we are not being a good ancestor unless we're rising up together with love in our hearts for all that we hold dear.
How are Indigenous communities involved in the events of September 8th through 11th and beyond? Indigenous communities have been at the forefront over the past couple of years, in particular around the fight against the Dakota Access Pipeline. In Canada, First Nations groups are leading the fight against fossil fuels. And in many cases, these are already communities that are feeling the impact first and foremost on climate, right?
Absolutely. You know, we, Movement Rights, works with Casey Camp Hornick and the Ponca Nation, which every body of water on their reservation is destroyed and polluted by the fracking industry there. They have an average of over one person dying every single week on the Ponca Reservation from fossil fuel fracking related illnesses. And that's just one example. Then we have Candy Mosset in North Dakota, where the fracking boom has not only poison the air, the water, and the soil and life. But the big trucks have killed people because the highways aren't really built for that kind of traffic. And then we have our sisters in the Amazon who have been fighting against fossil fuel in the most projects in the most biodiverse place left on Earth, in Sarayaku. There are sisters up in Alaska that are resisting the Arctic refuge being opened. You know, across the world, indigenous people have been on the front line of these fossil fuel related projects that are destroying what we need. And so many of those people, women and men, will be joining us here in San Francisco on September 8th. And if they're not here, they're rising up in their communities and around the world for this truly global uprising to ensure that there's a vibrantly healthy future and safe future for those to come.
So this is all happening 2 months before what some are saying are going to be our most critical elections yet, at least after the 2016 election. With the midterm elections, you see the possibility of a different configuration in Congress. Our federal politicians have just done very, very little. And of course, whatever modest gains were made under a Democratic administration have been rolled back by Trump's administration. Is the timing of these series of events important? Is it significant?
Absolutely. There is nothing anyone should be doing on September 8th but rising up for climate. There's nothing that's more important than that. We are already seeing an increase in climate disasters. The climate models that predicted what's happening now, this was supposed to happen into the future. And there's a feedback loop when the forests burn. There's a feedback loop when the permafrost melts. We don't have 1 minute to waste in ensuring that this blessing of life that we've been given on this very beautiful, fragile planet on the outer edges of our galaxy can continue. You know, it would be a crime of universal proportions if we destroyed what we need to exist. I mean, we are clever, we're a clever species, we're an intelligent species, but honestly, I think that there's some flaw in us that has allowed us to destroy what we need to simply exist. There's nothing more important than people rising up, and not rising up in anger. You know, I'm of the belief that anger, for me personally, is like a scab over sadness. And my power in doing this kind of work, I've been an activist for almost 40 years. My power in doing this work always comes from the heart, because that's the strength that women have in particular. And that's the strength that Indigenous women have in moving forward, that we're moving forward for life. We move forward with love. We move forward to be good ancestors. And that's a concept that I think we would love to share with people around the world. You know, when we think of our ancestors, we admire them, we are grateful to them, but we also want to be good ancestors, and this is the time to do that.
So the march on September 8th, the marches all over the world, will also be taking place at around the time when the confirmation hearings of Brett Kavanaugh will be taking place to the Supreme Court, the Senate confirmation hearings. All of these sort of political issues, we hope, would have the issue of climate change, underpinning them, because nothing really matters if we as a species cannot exist. So, it's questionable whether climate justice, climate change will even enter into the conversation. But is it your goal or hope that on September 8th, at least a few days after those confirmation hearings have started, that senators will hear loud and clearly what Americans want on climate?
They will hear that if there are enough people in the streets. Hmm. No, it really comes down to that. Our goal was 50 to 100,000 people in San Francisco alone. It would be great if there were more than that number of people there, because the numbers in the streets at this point are critical. It's important that people, if someone is committed to coming already, that they bring at least 5 to 10 people. There will be, it's child friendly, bring your families at the end, because we're emphasizing people power, like we're the ones that need to take real climate leadership upon ourselves now. And that includes rising up to put pressure on elected officials that will determine climate policy in the coming years. And at the end of the march, we're doing something very different, where we are not having a rally. We are creating the largest street mural project in the world, with messages done in beautiful art on the street, big 35-foot in diameter circles of what our solutions are, what is important for us to lift up, what we want our elected officials to be paying attention to, and how we believe that the fossil fuel industry needs to work on an immediate transition into a different business model in order to survive. We don't want them to die. I mean, we understand that there are a lot of jobs there. We also understand that it's time for elected officials and unions to work together to figure out how we're going to transition off of fossil fuels. You know, if the money that's put into fossil fuels from this government went into renewable energy and upgrading the grids on a small local scale, you know, there's so many solutions that are available,
And
and
even
that's
without that money, clean power is cheaper now than dirty power.
absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Everything that we need that is necessary to completely transition off of fossil fuels is already available. A lot of people don't realize that. You know, I like to say that over and over because it's not like we're waiting for anything to come. What we're waiting for is the will of the people to be enacted by joining us in these types of big marches around the world, and continue to do that at every opportunity to force policy change.
So the Rise for Climate Jobs and Justice is this massive mobilization September 8th in California. The biggest one is happening in San Francisco. Where else is it happening for those of our listeners and viewers around the country? I understand riseforclimate.org is one place where people can find out. But put it into a national and really even international context, because I understand on September 8th, there are communities all over the world that have picked this day to stand up and march for climate justice.
Yes, and unfortunately, Sonali, I don't have that information. I know that there are things happening in New Zealand and Australia and all through Europe and across the United States and up in Canada and in the island nations, because I've really been focused on organizing our indigenous bloc, because we've got indigenous people coming in from Alaska to south through South America. But I encourage people to go to the Rise for Climate website to be inspired themselves, to see people around the world that are, you know, that are passionate and courageous to do the things that we find ourselves that are uncomfortable for us. You know, like I don't like to speak at public hearings. I'm not a person that likes a lot of personal attention, but this is so important that I do the things that are uncomfortable, and that's what we're all being called to do right now. There are also some other events rolling out that week that, if we have time, I'd like to tell you about.
Yes, please. Certainly do tell us. So September 8th is the Rise for Climate Jobs and Justice. The September 12th through 14th is the summit. What else is happening?
So on September 9th, there's an action and a prayer at the West Berkeley Shell Mound, which is a sacred site that we've been working to protect, and that starts at 9 a.m. There'll also be a nonviolent direct action training there. The Indigenous Women of the Americas Defending Mother Earth Treaty Sisters and signatories will be conducting a new moon ceremony with signatories from all over the Americas on the Embarcadero near the Cupid's Bow and Arrow at 7 p.m. that night. On September 10th, we will be having an action at the 55 Park Hotel in San Francisco, where climate profiteers will be meeting to discuss cap and trade, and that will start at 8 a.m. We'll also be painting a street mural that morning, with speakers from all over who are concerned about these climate capitalists that are it's just another reason to allow the fossil fuel industry to continue. And then on September 11th is the Soul to Soul Summit, which is in La Raza Park in the Mission District of San Francisco from 1 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And those are workshops and speakers with solutions coming from the grassroots across the United States and Canada. And then also on the same day, the Women's Earth and Climate Action Network at 401 Van Ness Avenue in the Green Room will have women from around the world, women like the president of the Marshall Islands, the former president of Ireland, many indigenous women and women of color from Africa and in Asia and around the world on panels speaking about what's happening in their territories and what the solutions are that they would like to see be put into motion. And then on September 13th, there's a mass direct action at the Moscone Center starting at 7 a.m. So there's lots of opportunities for people to get involved and say that while these world leaders and UN officials and governors from around the world are meeting, we feel like they're not doing nearly enough. I mean, obviously, they haven't done enough in the last 24 years. Cap and trade is not a solution. The carbon tax is not a solution. We demand real solutions from these people who claim to be in office and claim to be climate leaders, especially Jerry Brown, which in California, he allowed more fracking, over 200,000 fracking wells, and 17% more offshore oil drilling to occur under his watch. The fracking industry poisoned almost 100 aquifers during the drought that we had that lasted about 5 years here. And so even though California is considered to be, you know, one of the forefront states on climate leadership for the United States, we say that it's not enough for this progressive state leader to be taking money from the fossil fuel industry and other campaign electoral campaigns taking money from the fossil fuel industry. That needs to stop now. And so, you know, everyone's invited to join us.
So Penny, the headline event for the Climate for Jobs and Justice is happening in San Francisco. It's interesting because usually these things are sort of, you know, the epicenter of these sorts of national and international events is Washington, D.C. But this summit is taking place in San Francisco. So people from all over the country and different parts of the world are heading there for any one of the number of events or many for all of them. So people are flying in. And as you've mentioned, with a special emphasis on the leadership of Indigenous women, why are Indigenous women critical to this struggle?
Well, we are on the front lines of climate catastrophe due to the fossil fuel industry. You know, our territories are being raped, and so are our women by the men in the man camps that the fossil fuel industry builds for these big projects that they create. So we also have a different philosophy of the seventh generations ahead and seven generations behind. And so I think that rootedness in who we are as women and our understanding that we have a responsibility to the water that men don't have, because we carry more water in our bodies, because when children are born, they're born on a great wave of water. The moon guides the waters and the oceans as she does our bodies. And so we just have a different perspective that we want to share with women around the world, that we have a responsibility as life givers. We have a responsibility towards future generations. And we have a long view because of the seventh generations forward and back. And we're strong and we survived genocide. And so that's why we are on the front lines of the climate justice movement.
So riseforclimate.org is the website where people can get the details for the marches on September 8th. And what about the summit, the Global Action, Global Climate Action Summit? It's bringing together mayors and local government leaders, et cetera. Can the public also attend?
No. You have to be accredited to attend. It's not a public event, and it's very difficult to get accreditation to go in. It's a quasi-UN event, so it's similar to the COPs. We're not invited into those areas.
So you will be on the outside?
Yes. Some of our indigenous leaders have been accredited to go inside, and for that we're grateful. But here, once again, we have people making decisions about us, about our future generations, those around the world, without our say. And so that's why we are rising up in the streets that whole week.
So for those people who are hoping to come to San Francisco as this climate set of actions is happening, is there infrastructure that has been built? Is there a place that they can find out the sort of the logistics and the detail? I mean, the list of events you gave was pretty long. Is Rise for Climate the best place to go? Are there other websites they can look at?
So Rise for Climate is responsible only for the march.
Right. Okay. That's the September 8th march. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, the other actions that I mentioned and events are on the idlenomoresfbay.org website.
That's idlenomoresfbay.org. Yes, go ahead.
And we're also on Facebook, the Idle No More SF Bay Facebook page is a good place, and the Rise Against Climate Capitalism website, Facebook page, both of those. Yes.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Penny, for joining us today and for just putting all of these issues into a broader context. Thanks so much. Good luck in the first couple of weeks of September. Sounds like you are going to be incredibly busy.
Yes, I'm glad. Joyfully so.
Hopefully all of us will be busy doing something similar as well on that date and time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My guest has been Penny Opal Plant. She is the co-founder of Idle No More SF Bay, co-founder of Movement Rights, and a signatory on the Indigenous Women of the Americas Defending Mother Earth Treaty. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now Instagram at RU with Sonali.